Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Picture yourself alone in the middle of nowhere, and there's somebody following you.
He went on his way, we so thought, and then we went on ours. But in reality, he really followed us up there.
On Deadly Nightmares, the true crime podcast from ID, listen to real stories of ordinary people stalked by serial killers and attackers.
Please, tell me we're not going to die.
Listen to Deadly Nightmares on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the true story of a millionaire tycoon and his wife.
They had everything that they wanted that money could buy.
It's a twisted tale of betrayal and revenge.
Total, absolute rage.
Kaboom.
Dark secrets.
There were cameras catching basically his every move.
Limitless wealth.
$4,000 worth of lingerie. That's some pretty nice lingerie.
And a bizarre crime in the most unlikely of places.
Playground of the rich and famous. But upstairs, you find somebody horribly beaten.
Beware. Extreme passion can lead to shocking consequences. New York has always been the place to make it big in America. But in the spring of 1998, the entire city is booming. With a stock market at its all-time high, it seems that the city's millionaires are multiplying by the day.
These are people who have made tremendous amounts of money on Wall Street. It was not only a great accumulation of wealth, but it was also the feeling of power that they had.
These newly minted financial titans revel in their success and are unapologetic in their ambition. One of the most powerful among them is 48-year-old businessman Ted Ammon.
Tall, dark, handsome, rich, smart. That was Ted Ammon.
Get it done.
He's earned a take-no-prisoners reputation as one of Wall Street's most infamous corporate raiders.
They would buy the stock, take over the companies. They'd lay off all these people, sell off the machinery, sell off the real estate, and basically take the profit. Ted Ammon was one of those people making millions, tens of millions.
But while the handsome millionaire may be known for being cold and ruthless in business, he's anything but at home and will do anything for his loving and very spirited wife, Jenna Rosa.
Jenna Rosa was beautiful and blonde. She was vivacious. She had a lot of energy.
An attractive woman, a pretty woman. She had a lean physique, which she worked on.
She was snarky, and Ted liked that about her. She wasn't the typical Upper East Side hostess type.
And that makes sense, because the fair-haired beauty isn't typical to the Upper East Side. In fact, the luxurious lifestyle she now enjoys is a world away from her childhood.
She came from very humble beginnings. She was orphaned and grew up largely with an adoptive parent.
Her greatest creation was herself. She became who she wanted to be, which was a blonde, beautiful, rich person who had a wonderful life. Paradise.
One warm evening in spring, Ted and Jenna Rosa invite friends to their townhouse to celebrate the upcoming social season. And as everyone knows, the Ammons' get-togethers are always memorable.
And it was a lavish affair. It was cocktails and drinks. Friends from the Upper East Side, friends from Ted's business. And it was always quite fun and quite relaxed. I always enjoy going there.
As usual, the New York City elite gather around Jenna Rosa. With her wit, charm, and brashness, she loves being the center of attention. But someone at this party will change the Ammons' Upper East Side life forever.
In walks a beautiful younger woman, also blonde, looked like a very young Generosa.
Her name is Mary.
Generosa took one look at her and wasn't having it. She was dressed in much too risque a fashion. In her home, this was an outrage. It was essentially naked jealousy.
Drink for you.
From the moment she arrives, Mary steals Generosa's spotlight, drawing attention from all the guests, especially Ted. It turns out that Mary and Ted already know each other quite well. That's because Mary is an investment banker just like Ted. In fact, they work together closely at Ted's office.
Generosa did point out this gal who was a colleague of Ted's, but she felt she was spending a little too much time with Ted and perhaps flirting a little bit too much with Ted. I tried to allay her fears by telling her that this person was no competition.
But Generosa's fears are well-founded. Like Generosa, Mary is the type of woman who's used to getting what she wants. And what she wants is Ted.
What's not to like for a woman? He's tall, dark, handsome, and rich.
Mary was very attracted to Ted because Ted was the top of the pyramid. In that financial world, that was very appealing to her.
Mary begins to spend more time with Ted at the office.
You look good.
Thanks. Finally, she makes her move. One evening, Mary takes Ted from the boardroom to the bedroom of her apartment on the Upper East Side. Ted may have a loving wife waiting for him back at home, but he's willing to risk everything for the thrill of being with Mary.
She was smart. She was beautiful. She was ambitious. They had a lot in common.
For people like Ted, who are the alpha males in the financial world, they have to make very risky decisions when it comes to business. They get used to it, and in fact, they like it. It gives them a high.
There's just one detail Ted has overlooked. His new mistress is as good as married.
At the same time she was sleeping with Ted, she had a 10-year relationship with another man.
That man is New York City businessman, Brian.
The fact that Mary was involved in a long-term relationship really made no difference to her. She didn't allow the rules that other people might create get in her way.
Brian is wealthy and successful, just like Ted. And the similarities don't end there. Brian and Mary also own a summer home that just happens to be down the road from Generosa and Ted.
If you're incredibly wealthy in the New York area and it's summertime, you most likely are going to be out in the Hamptons. And East Hampton is about as rarefied as it gets.
By all appearances, Ted makes an effort to live up to Generosa's image of him as a loving husband.
Ted and Generosa spent Monday through Friday in the city, and they came out to the Hamptons on the weekend.
But that soon changes. Ted finds excuses to spend more time at the office. Eventually, Generosa begins to wonder what her husband is really up to.
In some ways, this is an old story where the couple falls in love. The man is a huge success. The woman enters a domestic existence of redecorating and setting up a home until finally she feels locked out of his life and starts to wonder what he's doing with his time.
Generosa senses something is wrong. Ted is beginning to feel the heat.
What?
Generosa kept a very close eye on Ted and Ted's relationships with women. Before Ted could hire a secretary, they had to go through Generosa. And they couldn't be too young, and they couldn't be too pretty.
From the sanctum of her beach house 100 miles away, Generosa does her best to dig up the truth about Ted.
No, I cannot talk about this right now. What? Because I'm working.
She would call him up at work. She would bug him all the time. And it became kind of crazy. At one point, he would hold the phone up to his coworkers, and Generosa would be screaming,
"Stop already."
Generosa's aggressive tactics just drive Ted further away from her and straight into Mary's arms. Ted and Mary's affair carries on throughout the summer. And just when Ted thinks he's having his cake and eating it too,
that was fun.
Mary tells him some news that will change everything.
Yeah. I'm pregnant.
Mary was having an affair with Ted while she had her ongoing domestic relationship. So the question is, whose baby is this?
With a jealous wife and a mistress with a baby, will Ted walk away or go back for more?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Picture yourself alone in the middle of nowhere, and there's somebody following you.
He went on his way, we so thought, and then we went on ours. But in reality, he really followed us up there.
On Deadly Nightmares, the true crime podcast from ID, listen to real stories of ordinary people stalked by serial killers and attackers.
Please, tell me we're not going to die.
Listen to Deadly Nightmares on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Janice from Warner Brothers Discovery. Spring is officially in bloom here in the Northern Hemisphere, and with a fresh season underway, you might be seeking your own transformation. For some, that means a new approach to weight loss or nutrition. Noom has a unique approach. Noom is tailored to each person's psychology and biology. It's built to meet you where you are because Noom understands that no two people are the same. Noom stands out to me because it offers a holistic approach to well-being. From coaching to recipes, Noom's app provides personalized information to help you on your journey. I also think it's great that Noom doesn't restrict what you can eat, and it doesn't shame you for treating yourself. And treat yourself you should. What's more, Noom believes in nourishing rather than restricting. Noom can help you lose weight while still enjoying your favorite foods, because this approach is about eating well and treating your body right. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your free trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
It's the summer of 1998 in the affluent metropolis of New York City. Investment banker Ted Ammann and his co-worker Mary are in the midst of a scandalous affair. But just when he thought he could have it all, Mary tells him some shocking news.
I'm pregnant. Isn't it good news?
Yeah, it's great news.
And to make matters worse, his wife, Generosa, is on the verge of finding out about the affair.
Ted was confronted with a very jealous, very suspicious wife.
It was one thing for Ted to have an affair with Mary, but it's a completely different ballgame when there's a baby that enters into the scene. This was something that Ted needed to strategize about.
As a cunning businessman, Ted comes up with a novel solution. Later that year, Ted tells Generosa he wants to work on their marriage in England.
Ted, catering to Generosa's vanity, has set them up in Coverwood, this baronial brick mansion on these manicured grounds, this beautiful estate in England, as if they're now royalty.
Just as Ted expected, Generosa couldn't be happier.
Generosa thinks this is a new start. She and Ted can leave Mary and all the friends she doesn't like back in New York.
While Ted's rekindling his marriage thousands of miles away, his mistress, Mary, continues her relationship with her boyfriend, Brian.
While Ted and Generosa were living in England, a baby was born to this girlfriend. Ted's girlfriend seemed to explain that this child was the child of the boyfriend.
Ted's plan is working perfectly. Generosa is now an ocean away from Mary and her newborn baby, far from any rumors about who the father of that child might be.
The fact that Ted felt he could strategize this issue away by moving his whole family to England showed his level of grandiosity.
Ted is now free to put the second phase of his plan into action.
Ted began, from time to time, going back to New York because he still had New York businesses there. The girlfriend happened to be there, and when she was available, I'm sure they met up.
Ted has the best of both worlds. He has his wife who's living in England, and he has Mary in New York, and he's, for now, getting away with it.
One weekend, Mary and her boyfriend find themselves at their beach house in the Hamptons, and alone at his own beach getaway down the street. Ted invites Mary over for an intimate rendezvous.
Ted has really taken it to a new level. It's one thing to have a love affair in New York City, but Ted is now taking it into the family home in the Hamptons, where Generosa really feels attached to this home.
Ted was having sex with Mary in Generosa's hand-built dream house in East Hampton.
Mary was very confident in her relationship with Ted. The fact that Ted was coming back to New York a lot probably just confirmed this idea that they were destined to be together.
Ted's dangerous gamble appears to be paying off. But back in England, Generosa is having a case of deja vu. Just like the previous year, her husband is never around, and she becomes plagued by the same doubts and suspicions she once felt.
So there she is, uprooting herself and her family, trying to get a new start. And Ted was drifting away, and she sensed it.
This time, Generosa takes a more dramatic step. She hires a private detective. And what he discovers verifies her worst fears.
Generosa gets confirmation that while she has been placed in the countryside out in England, Ted is stepping out with Mary in New York.
Generosa has finally learned the truth about Ted and Mary, but the reality is worse than anything she could have imagined.
She hears perhaps the worst possible news, which is that not only might her husband be having an affair, but that he might have fathered a child with the other woman.
Generosa is devastated, but she isn't about to stay in England and lick her wounds. She flies back to New York to declare war. She files for divorce and plans to hit Ted where it hurts most, his bank account.
They become full-blown diplomatic disasters, and it's just as rancorous as a divorce could possibly be.
Generosa's first demand is an $8 million townhouse on the Upper East Side. Ted gives in. But Generosa doesn't stop there. She tells Ted that she'll need at least another $1 million for a total renovation.
Initially, she planned just to do a couple of things here and there. As it turned out, Generosa decided to do really extensive renovations.
The idea was to spend as much of Ted's money as possible to punish him. She rips out walls, she changes everything. And she had to hire workers and architects and permits. And that's how she meets Danny Pelosi.
Hello.
Danny was pleasant looking. He was a tall, very Italian looking, dark skinned man with slicked back hair.
Danny is the electrician on the renovation project. And whenever he's around, sparks fly.
Everybody notices Danny. He's a loudmouth.
You have incredible crown moments.
Thanks.
He's always talking and cursing and telling jokes. He's a very amiable guy. He's very likable.
And Generosa is no exception. She's immediately drawn to Danny and his blue-collar charm.
She was attracted to him because he was that Italian stallion, that kind of rough guy.
In the middle of a nasty, high-profile divorce, Generosa unexpectedly finds herself fantasizing about a man who's the polar opposite of her estranged husband. And one afternoon in October of 2000, Generosa embraces her carnal desires and invites Danny to her hotel suite. She has a special request for her private handyman.
She got a little kinky and underscored kind of where she was coming from. She asked Danny to wear his tool belt in bed.
She called Danny her tool belt man, which was her way of saying, I like the fact that he's a working class guy. I like the fact that he works with his hands.
In her relationship with her husband, there was an imbalance of power. And Ted had all of it, and she felt she had none of it. When she was with Danny, it reversed.
And Generosa wants to use that power to get even with Ted.
Well, there's really no doubt that Generosa was doing all she could to stick it to Ted, not only by taking up the electrician as her beau, but by just spending money hand over fist.
Ted's friends would say that Danny Pelosi was the perfect revenge boyfriend for Generosa to pick. He was someone wildly inappropriate, someone who would be embarrassing to Ted's fancy friends, and she liked the shock value of it too.
As the sun sets one evening in the fall of 2000, Generosa puts a plan of her own into action. She buys Danny the first tuxedo he's ever owned and knows the perfect place for the big reveal.
Generosa takes Danny in a new monkey suit to the opera, and it's kind of low comedy. Just in case any of Ted's friends hadn't heard that she's stooping the electrician, let's go to the opera so everybody sees.
Generosa loved showing Danny off, especially at the opera, because she also knew that Ted's friends would be there, and this would be a way to humiliate him.
The same Upper East Side rumor mill that once threatened to expose Ted's affair with Mary is now working in the other direction.
Ted, when he found out that Danny was actually sleeping with Generosa, and they were running up these huge bills, he was livid and he was outraged.
Danny Pelosi was on Ted Ammon's payroll. So it's like one of your own employees is with your soon-to-be ex-wife when you're not around. It must have driven him nuts.
The first shots have been fired in a war between Ted and Generosa. But the battle is about to get very dangerous. It's fall of 2000 in New York City, and the social set is buzzing with gossip about the epic divorce battle between millionaire Ted Ammon and his wife, Generosa. Ted's been caught having an affair with his sexy co-worker, Mary, and now she and her boyfriend may even be raising Ted's child. But Generosa is ready to even the score. She's found a new playmate of her own, Danny the electrician, and he's on Ted's payroll.
This is a slap in the face to Ted. It's a slap in the face to all his friends. She's basically thumbing her nose at them all by sleeping with the electrician.
She loved the fact that it just drove Ted ballistic. His electrician and the guy he had to keep paying I mean, it must have just driven him nuts.
Generosa is getting exactly what she wants. But the divorce is also giving Mary the perfect opportunity to move in on Ted.
I imagine that Ted's girlfriend was delighted that Ted and Generosa were getting divorced. I'm sure she saw an opening for herself.
As the weeks turn to months, the divorce only gets uglier. With so much money at stake, both sides aren't afraid to fight dirty.
Remember now, they're both rich, so they can hire the best divorce attorneys, and they hire private eyes. So you have a spy versus spy situation.
Generosa is eager to expose every detail about Ted and Mary's illicit sex life.
They found a receipt. Ted had bought $4,000 worth of lingerie. That's some pretty nice lingerie.
And Ted sends his own private detectives to Generosa's home in East Hampton.
The warring private eyes got very X-rated. At one point, a private eye was in a tree videotaping Danny Pelosi and Generosa having sex on a lovely sunny day, poolside, behind the East Hampton mansion.
With Ted and Generosa, there was so much anger and distrust, and they really felt like they couldn't believe what one another had to say. And so they needed to go to this extreme route of hiring private detectives. It almost sounds a bit childlike, but this was really what their relationship had come down to.
For now, Generosa has free rein over her mansion in East Hampton. But in the summer of 2001, 8 months into the divorce proceedings, a judge orders Ted and Generosa to share her beloved beach house. Ted wins this round, but Generosa has one more thing to do before she leaves.
Generosa and Danny trumped him, and they spiked the house with cameras.
Danny and Generosa hide 9 cameras throughout the house.
Ted didn't realize this. He never knew this. But there were cameras catching basically his every move, every minute that he was spending at the house on Middle Lane.
The cameras run 24 hours a day, capturing every scandalous detail and broadcasting the images to a rapt audience of 2.
There's something you should see.
Generosa and Danny were able to remotely look at pictures of Ted having sex. Generosa was obsessed with Ted's sex life. She wanted to know everything about who Ted was having sex with and how and where and when and why.
Generosa and Danny would view them on a laptop, no doubt stirring Generosa's rage that much more.
Even in the company of her new lover, seeing the woman who has destroyed her marriage get exactly what she wants leaves Generosa seething.
He brought a woman into my house.
Don't worry about it.
Generosa had a tremendous hatred for this girlfriend. The thought of her put her into a rage.
It goes on for a whole year. Generosa and Ted continue to share the home, flaunting their new lovers at every opportunity. It is a recipe for disaster in East Hampton.
The ground zero in battle between Ted and Generosa was the East Hampton house.
On one weekend, it's Generosa and Danny's private retreat.
That was Generosa's greatest work. She thought that was her best creation.
But the next, it's Ted and Mary's romantic getaway.
That house was Ted and Generosa's dream house that ended up a nightmare.
Monday evening, October 22nd, 2001.
At 5:19 p.m., 911 received a call.
A body's been found inside a house in one of the most exclusive addresses in America on Middle Lane in East Hampton.
When the police arrived, they're coming someplace they don't usually have murders. East Hampton, playground of the rich and famous, this huge mansion, and going inside with all the furnishings and the luxuries. But upstairs, you find somebody horribly beaten to death.
Yeah. It is October 2001 in the sunny beachside hamlet of East Hampton, New York. Center stage for a high-stakes divorce battle between business tycoon Ted Ammon and his wife, Jenna Rosa. Ted is continuing an affair with his co-worker, Mary. But Jenna Rosa and her tool-belt man, Danny, are getting revenge by draining Ted's bank account. The two couples have been forced to share the mansion on Middle Lane, but now it's the unlikely setting of a brutal crime.
The police get there and they find an adult body bloodied, signs of an attack, and then a struggle following the attack. Blood tracks outside the bed, heading down and out toward the exit of the room.
The victim has severe wounds on the face and body, but the police quickly learn his identity.
The victim was Ted Ammon, one of the wealthiest men in New York City.
It was really shocking to everyone out there because this just didn't happen. That some successful banker, millionaire, Wall Street guy would get murdered in his Hamptons home. No one could remember anything like this.
In one of the wealthiest zip codes in America, robbery is an obvious motive.
When investigators walked into the house, right there are the keys to Ted's Porsche. His money was there, his wallet, a wad of cash. This was not a burglary.
The wounds on Ted's body and the amount of blood in the bedroom suggest a struggle.
Looking at a situation like this, signs of a struggle, lots of blood everywhere. Maybe the killer had left some sign, some DNA. It wasn't clear that they had necessarily found any evidence at all that led to anyone.
Police turned to the neighbors for help, hoping that someone might have heard the struggle or seen something suspicious in the quiet and secluded neighborhood.
They were hearing what they didn't want to hear. They had no eyewitnesses. They had no ear witnesses. They were getting zip. The last thing cops want is a mystery. In this case, you have a rich and powerful man who's murdered.
The pool of potential suspects grows. And police learn that Ted made a number of powerful enemies while amassing his fortune as a corporate raider on Wall Street.
Ted was involved with many business deals over the years. You had people who were laid off, people who were fired, people who felt they lost money. Police had to make sure that this was not a hit based on a business going bad.
But the brutality of the murder points to a more personal motive. And the police quickly discover that Ted's personal life was complicated. Not only was Ted in the midst of a ruthless divorce with his estranged wife, Jenna Rosa, he was also continuing his affair with Mary, the mistress that ruined his marriage. And Mary may have been the last person to see Ted alive.
Police learned that Ted had a girlfriend at the house that day.
Police bring Mary to the station for questioning.
Police interview Mary. She's a very important witness. She sees him on Saturday when Ted was alive.
She spent an hour with Ted, 30 minutes of which was spent in the bedroom with them being intimate.
And possibly within minutes or hours, he's dead.
I went straight home.
Mary admits she was with Ted that afternoon, but not at the time of the murder. And she has an alibi.
She returned after 1 hour to her boyfriend, the baby, and she proceeded to spend the rest of the weekend with the boyfriend.
Seems Mary couldn't have killed Ted, but police believe that this love triangle is at the heart of the case. Ted's relationship with Mary brought out the worst in his jealous wife, Jenna Rosa. It's clear, investigators need to speak with Jenna Rosa. But before they do, they make a stunning discovery back at the crime scene.
Let's pretend for a minute that you're a homicide detective in a case that you know will be one of the biggest cases you ever handle in your career. Imagine if then you hear that there's not one but several video cameras installed in the house. you would think that Christmas came early.
Police locate 9 cameras throughout the home, covering every entrance and every room.
Did it film the murder? Do we have the killers on tape?
The cameras are all wired to a recording system, tucked away deep in the heart of the house. Detectives follow the trail of cables to retrieve the hard drive.
You have to undo some screws, take out the panel, reach into the roof area, and when you pick that up, it reveals the secret surveillance system.
And it will reveal the last thing police expect to see. It's October 2001 in East Hampton, New York. The body of multimillionaire Ted Ammon has been discovered, horribly beaten in his beachfront home. But the police have just had a breakthrough in the investigation. They've uncovered a surveillance system that might have recorded his murder.
This is great. Maybe we'll even have footage of the murderer. This could be a slam dunk. But it wasn't there. There were wires hanging. It was gone. Someone in this very secret location had already ripped it out.
The hard drive that might have contained footage of the murder has disappeared, leaving police to wonder who knew about the secret surveillance system.
The question becomes, who's controlling the surveillance system? And there's a short list of people who even know it exists.
One of them was the person who had it installed, and that was Ted's estranged wife, Jenna Rosa Ammon.
To the police, Jenna Rosa's motive is obvious. Ted's affair with Mary destroyed Jenna Rosa's marriage and left her seething with rage. It also turns out Ted's death is a financial windfall for Jenna Rosa.
Ted had not changed his will, and because of that, she would get everything.
In the wake of Ted's murder, Jenna Rosa inherits his entire estate, worth almost $100 million. She had everything to gain from Ted's death, but was she capable of committing murder? And Jenna Rosa isn't the only one who knew about the surveillance system.
Danny and Jenna Rosa were acting as a team in a lot of ways. Jenna Rosa saw Danny as the big problem solver in her life, the Mr. Fix-It in so many ways.
Police now have 2 persons of interest in their sights. The investigation has hit a wall.
Jenna Rosa and Danny had all the motives, and police went after that full bore, but nobody was talking. Everybody lawyered up.
The police are out of leads.
The investigation ground pretty much to a halt.
And the case is about to get even tougher. Just 12 weeks after her husband's murder, Jenna Rosa gets remarried to Danny.
The general reaction was, they're getting married so they won't be able to testify against each other.
The police are convinced that Jenna Rosa and Danny are behind Ted's murder. And for now, it appears they're getting away with it. But they don't live happily ever after.
The marriage of Jenna Rosa and Danny did not last long.
Six months into her new marriage, Jenna Rosa is diagnosed with terminal breast cancer. She has less than a year to live.
Jenna Rosa is only getting sicker. Time seems to be running out for her.
Time is also running out for the case.
Because everyone had lawyered up, the investigators saw Jenna Rosa as kind of a Hail Mary play. She's not really worried about spending her life in jail. She's gonna die. And maybe she'd do the right thing.
Police hope that a deathbed confession can solve the case once and for all. They offer Jenna Rosa total immunity. She tells them what she knows about Ted's murder.
Jenna Rosa had the opportunity to speak.
I told you to talk to my lawyer. I don't have any statement.
She kept her secrets. And she died. With Jenna Rosa dead, that left Danny as the only prime suspect.
Police didn't get the confession they wanted from Generosa, but they proceed with a circumstantial case against Danny. On March 22, 2004, prosecutors charged Danny Pelosi with Ted Ammons' murder.
The prosecution's case was a tough one. There was no actual physical evidence, blood evidence, DNA evidence. They could never find the murder weapon.
The trial begins on October 13th, 2004, and prosecutors present their case. They tell the jury that Ted had agreed to a $25 million divorce settlement.
What are you talking about?
The day before he was murdered, he had second thoughts.
No, he already called. He called him.
He threatened to call off the deal.
I'll have my lawyer call your lawyer tomorrow. Well, I'm upset, okay?
The deal is off.
Watch your back, all right? I cannot believe this is happening. I cannot believe that this is happening. The settlement is not happening.
What?
Danny was very upset. He was about to get a big payday. That's when Danny said to people, we're going to go out there, we're going to knock some sense into his head.
The following evening, Danny drove to the home in East Hampton that Ted and Generosa once shared.
The prosecution told the jury that they believed that Danny Pelosi went into the home and beat Ted Ammon to death.
Danny's plan worked perfectly. After marrying Generosa, he had access to Ted's vast fortune.
Here he is, a millionaire, but he also has been charged for murder. Now he has to spend that money on his defense. Poor Ted Ammon as well. Imagine his own money is getting paid for the defense fund of his accused killer.
On December 13th, 2004, after 3 days of deliberations, the jury reaches its verdict. Guilty.
Danny Pelosi couldn't believe it. He could not believe that he'd been found guilty.
Danny murdered Ted for two reasons, money and love. Now he's lost them both. Ted's crime was cheating, and for that, he paid a terrible price. His brutal and senseless murder leaves friends and family devastated.
Those close to Ted Ammon see him as not just a good man, but a good friend. He had years ahead of him. You know, they see a lot of wasted potential.
Many are also left wondering whether Ted's wife, Generosa, played a central role in his murder.
Ted's friends see him as the victim of not one, but two psychopaths. He had the bad luck to be not just in a bad marriage, but to be in a bad marriage with Generosa, someone who completely snapped.
But Generosa's untimely death means any questions of her involvement will never be answered.
No one will ever really know the truth. Generosa did take the secrets of Ted Ammon's murder to the grave.